Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 184, episode 3 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Wednesday, May 12th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Hey Allergies. That is courtesy of Rat Bohemian. Very short, sweet, appropriate to the time of year. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Give me 1 second to go to CPK real quick. Can't stop addicted, pizza so big. Cold pop, watch pizza down with a swig. Choose not a pie of imitation. Only one can guess my heart a-racing. White cheese is screaming in the oven. Then hits your mouth all of a sudden. Go ask your server for some napkins. Face all covered like what the hell happened. The place I love with Pizza Hut is CPK. My babe won't stop. They got a pizza and it's all for you. Okay, so the things didn't line up quite where I was at, but you got the idea, okay? Because it's the place I love, the Pizza Hut, CPK. My babe won't stop. And you know what? The RHCPK... It's a movement because Christy Yamaguchi, man, you came through with that one, and I love to see the never-ending deluge. And again, I encourage the listeners, just because someone touched our RHCP song doesn't mean you can't iterate too, because this thing is malleable as gold, baby.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Also, I wanted to give a shout out to Rap Bohemian. I wanted to honor the fact that the Hey Allergies is a Gin Blossom, which is a nose-based band name. So it's also appropriate for that reason. Sorry, I'm trying to overcompensate for not having an RHCPK one ready to go. We'll be back at it again tomorrow. Yeah. But
I mean, we're going to have to talk about this when we're done recording.
Yeah.
Making us look stupid right now.
I'm sorry, Miles.
Let me out there hanging in the trenches by myself.
We're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the brilliant, the talented, the hilarious Jordan Morey!
Hey, welcome. Hi, everybody. Great to be here.
It's great to have you.
I mean, while we're on the topic of RHCPK,
sure. Yeah.
I had a little something I just wanted to add to the discourse. I just want to be part of the conversation.
I'd love to have you.
And, you know, and I think you guys know this better than anyone. This bit has great legs. I think it's going to stay fresh long into 2022.
Yeah.
Well, at least.
But I just wanted to kind of throw this out there in case you ever felt like you wanted to, you know, pivot a little bit or go in another direction. Something I was thinking of, have you ever considered, you know, maybe the next phase of this is Red Hot Chili's peppers. Red Hot Chili's peppers. Just take RHCP, you put in a new chain restaurant, it fits right in there. And again, I'm not the expert in this that you guys are, but just to start you off with where Red Hot Chili's peppers could go, can't stop addicted to the blossom. This appetizer's really awesome. And I don't have anything else. Woo! I don't have maybe the margs, the ribs, baby back ribs.
But baby to back, baby to back, baby to back now.
Yeah, oh, yeah. There you, sure. It anyway,
just baby to back ribs.
My gift to you.
Wow.
Take it and run if you want.
Red Hot Chili's peppers. Yeah, we're actually, I mean, we have been contacted by a few music kind of representation, you know, record companies and agents about just being a all chain restaurant themed RHCP cover band. So, you know, we're weighing our options, but this is it's definitely happening. Big shout out to all the fans we'll soon forget about once we're huge arena touring musicians.
Can I just say this, aside from this grand contribution to the RHCP discourse, and as we further that along, I just want to mention that something very serendipitous happened because, Jordan, I didn't realize you were going to be on the show till like later last night when I was sort of looking through the doc. And I was just so happening to be watching Bar Rescue when you were on it.
What?
So there's an episode of Bar Rescue where these motherfuckers think their bar is haunted.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, of course.
And Jordan pops up with, who is it? Who's the other dude?
Matt Myra.
Myra, yeah,
comedy
right.
Comedy writer and podcaster Matt Myra.
So y'all show up, and then I was like, oh my God. And then I see you. Then I looked on the doc. I was like, oh my God, this was all meant to be. The energy was swirling. I just want to ask about that bar. Do you think that bar was actually haunted that John Taffer tried to rescue?
So I should say I did. You know, if you're familiar with Bar Rescue, they have the recon portion where, you know, some of John Taffer's close personal friends.
Mm-hmm. Which you included, right?
Goes to the bar and like kind of gives him the lowdown on like what's really going on in this place.
Right.
And
do you go undercover? I actually don't know the show. Do you go undercover like as a customer, or you just go and do reconnaissance and they know you are part of the team?
Yeah, no, I think the idea is that you are just a norm. I mean, obviously the bar is set up to shoot in. So there's lights, there's cameras. That part of it is, you know, and like everybody in the bar has to sign some sort of release. So they kind of know that there's
something's
shooting going on. But no, I mean, I think we, you know, the people at the bar were serving people just kind of like normal. And so, you know, me and Matt just kind of like ordered drinks like we were there to soak up the ghosts.
Yeah.
Right.
And ghosts or no ghosts? What are you feeling?
I don't think there are ghosts, period. I don't think there are any ghosts at all anywhere. And I don't think... no, I don't think this place was haunted. It smelled bad. Right. I don't know if that.
My other question is: do you think they were lying, or were the bar? Because the people when they were shooting in the bar, the staff there was like, the owner like vanished because he was so shook by the ghosts and like bought all this equipment to try and communicate with ghosts. And I was like, are they lying to get on Bar Rescue, or were they really thinking their shit was haunted?
I mean, people do take ghost stuff seriously, you know?
Yeah. Right. But I'm saying, but they seem like true believers.
Yeah, I didn't doubt their sincerity. I would believe that they would actually be concerned about a haunting. Yes, I will give them that.
The placebo effect approach to ghosts. Like, it is definitely real to them, to the effect that it might as well be real. Like, they are seeing and hearing whatever they claim to be seeing and hearing. It's not like they're just making it up as a goof.
Right.
Yeah. you know, it's just that the unconscious is vast and very powerful.
But it was a real thrill.
Jack's
I was about to tell
one of his ghost stories right now.
And that brings me to, wait, was part of the thing they needed to be rescued from? Were they like, yo, we can't make money. There's like ghosts who keep drinking.
Yeah,
the liquor.
So as part of the episode that I was not there for was like, right. They did like a cleansing. They had like a cleanser come and do a, this yes. house is clean.
I believe the episode is called John Ain't Afraid of No Ghost. Too.
Yeah.
If I recall correctly.
Yes.
I mean, Miles, do you think that's why, like, we've been having trouble with the Apple charts? We're not charting the way we want to be. Do you think there might be a ghost? You think our
ghost
podcast
in the charts,
might be
man.
Haunted?
Wow. Yeah.
That's what, I don't know, man.
Do you think that's why Joe Rogan is so huge? Is just because he paid a bunch of ghosts?
Yeah.
A
ton of ghosts.
I mean,
to
he seems to
that
know
studio's
about
built
all
on
that
a graveyard,
shit.
Man.
All right, Jordan, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about the U.S. media coverage of the Israel-Palestine conflict and just how I'm seeing echoes of like sort of what we lived through in 2020 and the media bias that we see here in these United States. We'll talk about Liz Cheney finally being canceled. This is the Elon Musk hosting SNL of politics, because this story has, like, I thought this had happened a dozen times before it actually officially now has happened. They've been talking about it for weeks, and finally here we are. They officially threw her under the bus. I want to get to Greg Kelly's pants today. We've had it on the dock for a little while, but I do want to talk about
speak
that.
It into existence, Jack. Yes. You want to get into Greg Kelly's pants today.
Thank you, sir.
Into it's one about, of his many, many time. Pockets.
Yes. We'll talk about that Prego hack. Did you guys see the Prego hack?
Yeah.
Wait, talking about pregnancy?
Yeah. So I looked up how does baby come from.
How does
from,
baby or, make?
How does baby make? No. This is a hack for how to make spaghetti with meatballs that...
there's a hack.
It seems like it's a badly acted bit, but I don't know. There,
all right,
these,
I will preserve my response for when we get to that story.
We will talk about the summer of flavor that we have coming to us, courtesy of Lay's. All of that, plenty more. But first, Jordan, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Okay, yeah, so this needs a little bit of setup. I'll ask you guys, how familiar are you with Sonic the Hedgehog fan art?
Oh, fan art?
Yeah, like the fan art community around the video game character Sonic the Hedgehog.
I mean, I'm familiar enough with the franchise where when I've encountered fan art, it kind of makes sense. But I don't know if I could call out specific pieces of fan art. Or maybe I could if I saw, because I don't know. I see so much internet all the time that I'd say 50% chance I know what we're talking about.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I would say that there's...
I'm a collector, but go ahead.
Yeah. Over-leveraged on Sonic fan art NFTs.
You have a lot of NFTs?
Yeah.
So yes, Sonic the Hedgehog fan art. It has a robust community and you know, like there's the typical kind of like fan art genres that you might expect, you know, like Sonic as Avatar the Last Airbender and but then of course you get into the erotic. Sonic with a, you know, huge veiny crank giving it to Luigi. Things like
giving it to Luigi.
Go on.
Yeah, so you know what you would expect. But
I'm intrigued.
So and the genres get even more specific. There is a robust and thriving community of Christian Sonic fan art people. So it's like Sonic weeping at the foot of the cross.
Oh my God.
Yep. Sonic reading Bible verses, but they'll awkwardly insert other Sonic characters. So it'll be like, no one comes to the Father but through me, Knuckles. So that exists, right?
Oh, shit. Okay.
And the one I found out about this week was there is Sonic on his deathbed fan art. So it is like Sonic in the hospital on life support and then like Tails weeping at his bedside. And and it's not just one person did this. Many people have done this.
Yeah.
And it's most of it's done in MS Paint And it's like, I don't know where it comes from. It's like,
he's intubated. Yeah.
What does,
yeah, it's bad based
what
on,
about this speaks to people?
What?
That's so great.
So I have now Googled Sonic fan art deathbed.
Damn, yeah. Mario looks so sad in this, the top result for Sonic's deathbed.
Yeah, and you'd think he'd be like, man, fuck that. Like, you'd think he'd be kicking the plug out of his, like, life support machine.
You would think so.
He's Nintendo all day. He's like, fuck Sega's.
Absolutely.
Ass,
this guy razzed me in commercials in the 90s. He beat me in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, when it feels like the Easy Dr. Dre thing. When Easy was on his deathbed, Dre came through and was like, look, man, like, let's put all that shit behind us. I feel like Mario is Dre in this situation.
Oh, wow.
He's like, okay. We're... You know, we had our differences, but we are the same deep down. And I, seeing you dying here is a little too close for home. It's making me think about my own mortality. And also, Luigi clearly injected you with whatever's killing you.
So, yeah. Feel bad about that.
Right.
Ain't no hard feelings, man.
What is something you think is overrated, Jordan?
About once a year, I forget that I hate Starbucks blended drinks. And I get a Starbucks blended drink because it's time for a treat.
Yeah.
You
so
know?
You
and I get it because, you know, it looks good on the menu.
Yeah, they really good photography for those drinks.
Very good photography. Yeah, geez, if you've ever seen one of those Starbucks breakfast sandwiches in person versus the menu.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Or even the sous vide egg bites. Like, yes! And you're like, oh, wow. And you're like, are these pencil erasers that are just greasy? But yeah, they taste good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say the same thing about the breakfast sandwiches. The sausage, cheddar, egg breakfast sandwich looks like shit. It looks like shit. And
absolutely.
Even like parts of it are hard. That shouldn't be hard.
Oh yeah,
and
it's
yet
microwave
like,
to fuck.
I've never had one that I didn't enjoy like 80% of the sandwich for some reason. They have, I think, whatever chemicals they put
think
in
because
there
if you,
agree to the.
If you're getting a
brain.
Starbucks breakfast sandwich, it's because you're so out your mind hungry.
Yes, that's also
and
true.
That's why it's just because it's relative to your hunger. Because I'm never checking for a Starbucks breakfast. I'm doing that because I'm like fuck. What has something that resembles breakfast?
It's like, I'm at the airport and I'm mad. I need something.
Gatorade tastes better when you're running a marathon. That's like the equivalent of like the trick my brain is playing.
Wait, so what's your what's your experience like with the blended drinks? Like in your mind, what's it going to be? And it always ends up being another. It's like it sounds like me with cotton or candy corn.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean that's a great analogy. That thing that like one bite or one sip of it is a lot of fun. And then the fifth bite, you're like, fuck this. Yeah, I just like, I get it. And I'm like, hey, this will be like, you know, this will be tasty. This will give me a little pep. And I, every time I have it, I'm like, this is icy. This is chonky in a way that I don't like. And I just wish it was a Carl's Jr. milkshake for the calories, you know, like.
Right.
So. Right. It's ice. It's like ice crystals at the core with like the coffee milky stuff around it. So yeah, it just makes you wish it was a milkshake because like a slushy, a slurpee, I can deal with the fact that like the balance gets thrown off as I'm drinking it and it's just ice left behind. But when it's a coffee drink, it's like that balance is too fucked up. It's like now I just feel like I'm drinking like the weakest coffee that's ever been brewed and then left out for
how does it
hours.
Stack up against a culotta from Dunkin'?
I think it's similar.
I may,
like,
you know,
is it equally frustrating? Because I feel like, you know, everybody's kind of it ends up being a lot of frozen water in the end of the day. It sounds like what we are looking at is trying to move away from the frappe and towards milkshake territory with these drinks.
You know, I am not I'm not a Dunkin' guy. I grew up on the West Coast, so Dunkin's are kind of a new thing, you know, for me in the landscape. And I moved recently, and there's a close Dunkin', and I've just never liked it. I can't find anything that I like there. I kind of want to join the East Coast people and their like enthusiasm for Dunkin' because I think it's very sincere. I think it's very adorable, and I want to like. I don't know. I want to share that because I do love donuts, but every time I've gone to Dunkin', it sucks, and I don't want it to. I want
it to
be good.
Get that sour cream. Get that sour cream.
Oh, yeah?
Donut, yeah.
Okay.
That's what Jack put me onto when we were... I'm like a Dunkin'.
All sour cream cake donuts. I feel like it's pretty hard to fuck up if you're... Have you only been to Dunkin' on the West Coast? And I'm not a Dunkin' apologist by any means, but
you're just a
paid endorser.
I think I've had it out here a couple times, and then I've had it a couple times on the East Coast as like road trip airport. Right.
Yeah.
Like a road trip airport type stop.
Yeah. I've heard people who are Dunkin' defenders in the marketing meetings we have with the Dunkin' people tell me that you're supposed to, that like, they're like, well, it's different on the West Coast. And I think it's also like franchisee. And so like you can hit a really bad one, you know,
that is just like.
Ugh.
God. Yeah.
So we could ask Jamie Loftus. I'm sure she can rank our West Coast Dunkin'.
I feel like she's more in it for like the Dunkin' swag than, but I guess she also likes the... that's not shade. I just feel like I don't want people all right. Sorry, Jamie, to doubt your
a bit of light ribbing podcaster to podcaster. I think we can handle it, the internet, can't we?
Jordan, what's something you think is underrated?
Okay, I'm gonna put myself out there because, you know, I like you guys, I'm a fan of the show. I don't want to be kicked off the show, but I realize that this might... I'm prepared for what comes.
Just go for it.
Uh-oh. I'm prepared.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
I think this is out there. There's a sentiment that I'm picking up, and I think it's an okay time to say this. It's never been safer to say this. Mm-hmm. Third wave ska?
Wow.
It seems like it's getting a little rehab in the culture. Yeah. You know, I grew up in Orange County in the 90s. It was a big thing for me. I was there for the backlash. The backlash was mighty. It was powerful. But now, does it kind of seem like people are saying like, hey, maybe this was okay. Were we too hard on this? It was kind of fun, right?
People who fucked with ska will always fuck with ska. You know, like Brandy Posey, who comes on. She's a ska
OG. Oh, Brandy Posey. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I played in ska bands growing up because that was the only fucking place. I played trumpet. So I was like, man, I don't play a fucking guitar. And shit, I put on my anti-negativity helmet. Okay, like a motherfucking aquabat.
There you go.
That fucking horn.
There you go.
In my band called the Liptones. Because we like Lipton canned iced tea.
The Liptones. That's actually...
It was stupid. But you
had to fit tone or ska into the name.
Yeah,
that was the
rule. Right. But yeah, it's weird like how I feel like they're... It sounds like, yeah, for people who would maybe talk wild shit about it, and they're like, yeah, I'm kind of digging the ska again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know.
So just for like the uninitiated, so they know who we're talking, like the Mighty Mighty Bosstones would be third wave ska, right?
Yeah, and you know, put out an album this month that is so good. It's really
the Mighty
good.
Mighty Bosstones, really?
Yeah, I think it's called When God Was Great. I listened to it front to back. A lot
when
of bangers.
Ska was great.
Yeah, exactly. And they've got an 8-minute song on there. I think I've heard them refer to it as Innescata Davita.
That's from them.
That's not from me. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's maybe a result of like, you know, we all just kind of went through the fucking worst year in history. And like, you know, this idea of doing something that's like rooted in like fun and enthusiasm is kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of a nice thought of just putting on a fucking bowling shirt with somebody else's name on it and, you right. know, goofing around with your buds. I don't know. I think we're all kind of just like, we're craving fun, we're craving goofiness. And I think that maybe it's causing people to kind of look back on that stuff and go like, yeah, that was fun, right? Like, right?
There's an energy to ska, I think, though, that is refreshing when sort of in the context you're bringing up, though, especially because so much of our music is electronic now.
Right.
That hearing like wind instruments and like all that and just a huge band is like already sonically, I think, refreshing. Shout out to Sonic. Always refreshing. All right, obviously. But yeah, like there is, that's like the fun of it to me now. Although like I will say this, I'll never fuck with Sublime with Rome. I'm just gonna say that.
Oh wow,
that's just a nailed on thing for me as a Southern California native. Like Sublime with Rome is not something I'm.
Not my
in.
Sublime.
Nope, not my Sublime.
That's not my Sublime.
Nah.
I'm just realizing, like, I I'm not a huge like ska or music history person. So like I can only I had to Google third wave ska bands, and then looking at all the band names, it's like I've heard of the Mighty Mighty Bosstones and can place their songs. No Doubt, I can place their songs. Sublime, I can place their songs. Two of the best concerts I went to under the age of like 17 were Mighty Mighty Bosstones and No Doubt, just like accidentally. Yeah. But like those are really fun shows. Like the only time I've ever crowd surfed was at a Mighty Mighty Bosstones concert.
Hey, Jack, wait, hold on.
That's cool.
You went from, I had to look this up to being like, I fucking crowd surfed at a Mighty Mighty Bosstones
show. I was visiting a college and they happened to be playing with Run DMC at Penn. And
that's
like,
a bill. That's shit. A fucking yeah. bill. Huh?
It was fucking dope, man. It was really, and I got way too drunk and acted weird, and that completely colored my whether I wanted to go to that school or not. I was like, they all know me and think I'm weird now. But I really let
it rip.
It's
Skankin' Jack.
That could have been your whole identity. You could have gone to that college and just been ska guy.
Oh my god, I don't think. Yeah, do you end up here? If do you end up where you are now, Jack? If that ska show really took you away and sent you on another journey, do you think you still?
Probably not. I think about that a lot because I was definitely going to go to Penn, and both me and my wife were definitely going to go to Penn, and then last second changed our mind and went to Georgetown independently of each other. And that's a big life change.
Oh, so before, because y'all met in college?
Yeah, we met in college. And we were early decision Penn, and then changed our minds last second to go to Georgetown.
Oh my god. And please tell me she held you in the while
she
you were
remembers me
the,
from the yeah. She was like, and then this asshole jumped up on stage
and you wouldn't believe he crowd surfed, got all this sweat on me. Right. I was dry heaving. It was so disgusting.
Babe, that wasn't sweat. I hate to tell you.
What was it? You gotta ask. Yeah. I can't tell you.
I pissed in my pants. I love the Mighty Mighty Bosstones so much.
All right. Well, I think we're going to let you continue on despite that shocking take.
Thank you. That's very big of you. I appreciate it.
It's underrated.
RIP my mentions.
Yeah, yeah. What's one like super underrated third wave ska like album that people need to check out to like come around on the?
Oh, sure. I got an answer off the dome. There's a band called The Slackers, and they did an album called Wasted Days that I was listening to recently. It's a little more like, it's a little more kind of like funky reggae with the little soul. It's got like it's not the like power chords that you kind of associate with third wave ska, but it's it's a great record, a lot of hits, and I think that I think it would appeal to fans of the genre and non-fans.
Nice. All right. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and let's talk about what's going on in Palestine, how it's being covered by the U.S. media. I just feel like now that we've lived through the year 2020 and the experience of watching the news media coverage of huge, successful, peaceful, just protests, and they're like, look at this individual case of looting that we saw all the way over here.
Does that negate everything they're asking for?
Exactly.
Like, wait, hold on, what was that?
A Rite Aid window was damaged.
The media's coverage of Israel's provocation and violence towards Palestinians, and then like the Palestinians reacting and them just covering, like starting the story at the reaction is, I don't know, it just feels a little different.
That would be like if the like foreign media just covered like Portland at its high point in the summer.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, and being like, that's yo, Portland like. Wilding out. And they're like, what? Hold on. Are you talking about like Ted Wheeler or like everything else that's happening in the country? You're just going here?
Yeah.
It's very, very, I mean, but this is how like, you know, Western media really helps keep everything in check, you know, because I think it part of it is to function. Part of its function is to help obscure these kinds of atrocities, because I think no matter, we were talking about this on the trending episode, even in Colombia, people are experiencing very similar things around the globe of being like being pressed by their governments, a lack of access to care or any kind of social safety nets or any kind of support, and are now having to fight back, are having to take a stand against like what they believe is whether it's like these taxes in Colombia, or in the case of East Jerusalem, people being forcefully evicted from their homes, attacked, and then, you know, sort of spinning this as like, these people are just attacking these innocent civilians in Jerusalem, like on the Israeli side. And it just feels, I mean, yeah, like you said, we've seen this happen, this sort of same strategy play out in many different instances around the world.
Yeah.
Do either of you have an explain it to me like I'm five explanation of what this current conflict is? Because I think like you said, I feel like I became aware that something was going on, tried to kind of like search for a good story that would explain it to me, and I felt like I kind of couldn't find anything. I felt like there was not good coverage of this. Is there a
it's kind of a cacophony? Yeah.
Sure.
I think a big part that's being left out is like there's, you know, this occupation, which is essentially like right-wing Israeli forces are occupying and like trying to evict Palestinian families from homes they've lived in for like generations. And they're like, sorry, this is a settlement now, which used to be like a far right-wing Israeli position. And now they're just, you know, it's being adopted by Netanyahu and, you know,
who's up for re-election.
Who's up for re-election.
This is part of a cycle for him to ramp up settlement sort of activities and things like that to bolster his support, because he also has his own legal liabilities that he's exposed to if he's out of office. So there's like
They're using protests around that like eviction to then be like, we have to amp up our police presence. And so now they're doing things like preventing Palestinians from like worshiping on, like they're cutting down the number of people who can worship at like the third holiest site in Islam. And then when people like protest that, they start shooting them with less lethal, not non-lethal, less lethal munitions and like flash grenades and stuff in the mosque, like in the actual mosque. And just like, and then any response to that is being covered as like, you know, militant forces and, you know, Palestinian forces are clashing. And it's
people
like, well,
outside
one
of their place of worship who are right. asking to exercise.
And one side is allowed to, like, one side's violence is automatically assumed to be legitimate. And the other side, like, that's what kind of makes it, like, fit within the broader, like, kind of what we experienced in 2020 is that, like, one side comes in and is aggressive and is violent. And the other side, when they protest or push back, it's like, well, now you've fucked up and now we get to shoot you with rubber bullets and grenades. And then, you know, the Palestinians in desperation started firing rockets at Israel, at Jerusalem. And that is where, like, I have this ABC news story that just starts at the Palestinians firing rockets at Jerusalem. And they're like, a children's ballet class had to take cover. They have video of that. People frantically sprinting through the streets of Jerusalem. Like, and they're like, this is the first time in 7 years that this has happened. Amazingly, no one was hurt is the quote, because they're just kind of like, they're doing it out of desperation. They don't really have the weaponry to fight back. They're just...
No, because they don't have the backing of the U.S. military right. like Israel does. I think a lot of it, too, is they've completely robbed people of the context broadly that this is an occupying force.
Right.
That this is occupied territory, that is an apartheid state. So right. they're living under that already forever. And right. the pandemic only exacerbated that with, like, very scant supplies for Palestinians to be able to access. So it's just building and building and building. It's very similar to what was happening last year in America. You know, like, the broader context is systemic white supremacy has completely ruined this country. Some people are able to exist while many others are still experiencing the ills of it repeatedly. And we get closer and closer to, like, you know, a tipping point of people saying, like, what the fuck is this? Like, no. But in the context of Israel and Palestine, this is just like, this is the ebb and flow of of Israeli settlement organizations saying, this is ours now, we're kicking you out. Unfortunately, the courts that you're going to try to maybe appeal to will not look at any of your documentation. Meanwhile, I can give, you know, documents that aren't even verified to say that I've actually been here since X amount of years to justify this, me taking over this property. And so there's just a lot of this imbalance that is constantly being played out. And then this is just another example now where it's a provocation. And it just also reminds us of how a lot of the BLM protests are happening in the summer, which is people come out, they're protesting, the police or whatever come out to provoke or whatever to create a clash, and then they get violent. They use that to justify their violence. And then the news is like, oh, look at the violent clashes between police and protests. Like, well, what yeah. part are you picking up this narrative at?
Yeah. You guys monitor right-wing media a little bit closer than I do. You do it, so so we don't have to. So we thank you. Thank you for your service. Is in right-wing media, is BLM still like a villain? Do they still?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of wondering if that had subsided and now it's all cancel culture stuff, or if they still use.
They still BLM have that. Still like a because word. I mean. This is the language of oppressors, which is you treat people who are seeking equality as a terrorizing force without right. acknowledging, you know, where you stand in terms of the like hegemony of the entire situation. Like, you are yeah. the oppressor class. But yet when your people asking you for equality, it's like, oh, my God, what are they trying to do? It's like, well, you have to understand, if you can't even acknowledge what the situation is, then there's right. no way we can sort of objectively or even clearly report this situation or come to any kind of forward movement, because on one side, you have people thinking like, well, this is what they're going to do. Violence isn't the way. That's not the way you want to get things.
But I retweeted this guy, Omar Badar, who I thought put it, I'm probably butchering pronunciation, but Omar Baddar, at Omar Baddar on Twitter. One, status quo, occupation apartheid is violence against Palestinians. And you can like insert, you know, Black Americans. You can insert Colombian citizens. Two, Israel escalates through evictions, beatings, shootings. Three, then some Palestinians respond with violence. Four, then Israel responds with massacre. And then he said, if you start reporting at number three, you're misleading your audience. And I think that's really how you can kind of summarize almost the entire like news cycle and how BLM becomes this buzzword that they can point to scare, you know, white people who aren't paying attention.
Yeah. The other thing that's, I think, really telling, too, is the spokesperson, Ned Price, for the State Department. Mm. He had to answer questions yesterday about what is the right of Palestinian people to defend themselves? Because if you're saying like, yeah, you know, civilians are dying, children are dying because of these airstrikes. They're like, at what level does this idea of self-defense factor in for Palestinian people? Are they just like, what's the logic of the United States right now? And just listening to this guy twist his brain into knots, I think really shows how careful the United States has to be with how they even talk about things. They couldn't just sort of unequivocally be like, I would believe that they do have a right to self-defense in this instance. I'll just play this clip because the journalists that were there at this briefing were really like unrelenting, and credit to them for asking these questions.
We stand by on behalf of Israel and every other country.
Do you think that an Israeli military response to the rockets coming in, a military response to the rockets coming in is covered by this broader rubric of self-defense, right?
Self-defense often does authorize the use of force.
Thank you, Ned. I want to ask you about East Jerusalem, but let's talk about what you said about the principle of self-defense. Does that in any way apply to the Palestinians? Do they have a right to self-defense? Do Palestinians have a right to self-defense?
In broadly speaking, Saeed, we believe in the concept of self-defense. We believe it applies to any state.
So he goes on to say, I believe that goes like it extends to any state. And this other reporter then responds to say like, OK, hold on. I want to get you on that because you said applies to any state.
You're going to know as soon as I read what your answer was that there's a big problem with it. You said, well, not a problem, it just doesn't answer the question. We believe that it, meaning the right to self-defense, applies to any state. Well, you see the problem, right? Yes?
Do you want to?
Do you regard Palestine as a state?
I wasn't
referring. But in the context of the ICC and the UN. Saying that you do not, if it applies to any state, are you saying the Palestinians don't have a right to self-defense?
I was making a broader point not attached to Israel or the Palestinians in that case.
You're making a broader point about states, but it's so broad that
doesn't apply to this situation that you're being asked about.
It's a weird position to be in. I mean, like, that's why working for the State Department is.
Yeah. But I mean, it's like the Biden administration's statement was all, you know, condemning the Palestinians firing rockets, not the airstrikes that came through and like killed lots of civilians. Attacked apartment buildings, like blew up apartment buildings just yesterday. But like, just ABC News is now like, for some reason, above and beyond the most popular, you know, national news broadcast, which I think means it gets like 3,000 viewers. But the way that they edited this was just so like, the progression was so clear that it started with the Palestinian rockets. Then it showed like the Israeli like victims who actually weren't hurt, which they said was amazing. And then they just showed like angry Palestinians throwing rocks and like protesting angrily. And then they showed like a split second of Israeli police force like shooting them with rubber bullets. It's just like, why do you have to like it, the order that they cut it was clearly meant to show like, this is just Israel responding to provocations by Palestine. It's like, why would you have to do that if you were not like in the tank for one side or the other.
Again, the purpose of all these, whether it's black people seeking justice in this country or Palestinians trying to liberate themselves or at least have some semblance
human rights.
of human rights there.
Yeah.
The whole point is to completely turn them into a group that doesn't know what they want, that they're just a problem, and to just sort of take away the validity of what they're asking for. If you can always take that away, then to the person who is not really critically thinking while they're watching, they're going to be like, oh, Hamas, just come on, get over it. Like, and that's how it's sort of presented, much in the same way a Fox viewer would look at the Black Lives Matter marches and the way they cut things and be like, oh, don't they have enough? I mean, it's not that bad. And it's just meant to completely take the wind out of this.
And the version you're getting of Israel and Palestine is the Fox News version. Like the rest of the world views this as like all the, you know, international organizations are like, this is a violation of the Palestinian people's rights. This is like a war crime. You cannot do these things that Israel's been doing for years and years and years. Like it's a pretty clear cut case for all other media, but inside the U.S., we only get the Fox News version of the Black Lives Matter protests, only get that take of what's happening over there because they just assume you aren't paying attention, which I think for me was certainly the case until I dug into it.
It is amazing how throughout the course of our lives that angry Palestinian footage gets cut into news reports to scare us. And I know with like no context, it's just kind of this, like even in like movies, I feel like if they're trying to show you like the world is being thrown into chaos, they will cut to that sort of footage.
Mm-hmm.
And I can totally see how that will be done with BLM footage when you just need an example of.
Because, just show angry black people. Don't for a second show the audio of what they're saying.
Right.
Because there are people saying, don't kill us.
Or when this is from, or where they are, or what's being done to them. Sure.
For us who aren't, you know, polyglots, if I don't speak Arabic or I'm not, you know, fluent in any of these languages of the people are like the activists in Palestine, what they're talking about is we're being kicked out of our homes. Right. We're getting bulldozed. My child was shot in the head.
Right.
And I have no recourse.
Right.
What am I supposed to do? And what are my rights if someone is completely violating me? What am I just a subhuman at this point? Because that is the same struggle that they're experiencing. But again, if you just cut to screaming, angry, contorted faces, and now you have some narration over it. Now you can just be like, oh, they're just being unreasonable rather than that's real pain. That's actually pain. That's a level of human suffering that. Most of us have the privilege of and will have the privilege of possibly never knowing. And I think that's what I think is the really disingenuous thing about the way they report that or way they portray people like that.
There's a portrayal of angry black men in Forrest Gump that I think is underrated and like kind of influential because it's so subtle, but it's like very clearly shows like the kind of mainstream perception. So it's like the scene where they're meeting with the Black Panthers or they're at the Black Panthers like meeting place. And one of the Black Panthers is like shouting at Forrest Gump and like you don't hear him. It's just like anger, 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 like wagging his finger. And then Jenny's boyfriend slaps her and Forrest like runs over to hit him. And the guy keeps yelling at the spot on the wall that Forrest Gump just was because it's just like his anger is like connected to nothing and he's just like so blinded by anger. It's just like
an automaton of anger
that like that isn't trying to communicate anything. His message has no content. It's just anger being displayed for the sake of anger. And it's, I don't know, I had to write an episode of After Hours for Cracked about Forrest Gump and like just... It's like a really subtle thing, but it is like very, I don't know.
Intentional.
Like, intentional, for sure.
Obviously that's not the big headline here, but like, you know, worth saying Forrest Gump is full of fucking boomer bullshit.
Right, right. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. And let's talk about Liz Cheney and how it relates to Forrest Gump. No.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good.
Daddy Dick always said, life yeah. is like a box of shooting your friend in the face while you're on a hunting trip.
There's a box of yellow cake that you suddenly found in Iraq.
There you go.
Give you a pretext for invasion.
Yeah, yours was better.
I'm a little obsessed with Dick Cheney, though. You know, so somehow Liz Cheney, yes, the direct descendant of fucking Darth Vader Dick, has become like the character from Congress that's like inspiring sympathy from yeah. everyone, being like, oh God, like, are we mistreating Liz Cheney? I'm like, well, she chose her party, and then she's in the goon squad, and they don't give a fuck about anything. So yes, that's what's gonna happen to you, because unfortunately, ever since she said out loud that Biden had won fair and square, get off your fucking stolen election nonsense, and her vote to impeach Trump, she's been on the MAGA shit list ever since. We talked about how, you know, Kevin McCarthy's been constantly squeezed, bullied into siding against her now that he finally has, like, the writing's on the wall. But it just seems a little bit odd, because first of all, with Kevin McCarthy, he said the exact same thing she did too, except he didn't vote for impeachment. But right. no one's holding his feet to the fire, because it's probably because he's not, again, a direct descendant of like the old GOP that is slowly being like, what the hell are these people doing? They're right. like, we used to be quiet racists. So this is now like caused this weird bizarro game of what I call what's canceled again. Because there are these two takes from people on the right that I am really scratching my head over. First, Senator Joni Ernst was raising her concerns over like, well, yo, what's going on? Why are we ousting Liz Cheney for just speaking her mind? She said, quote, I feel it's OK to go ahead and express what you feel is right to express. And, you know, cancel culture is cancel culture, no matter how you look at it. Unfortunately, I think there are those that are trying to silence others in the party. She added, we shouldn't be trying to cancel voices.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was her attempt to try and tell other people in the GOP. She's like, we're no better than the libs, guys. If we're canceling each other, where does it end? But I guess it turns out Josh Hawley, yes, that Josh Hawley is a lib because he disagrees with this definition. What Hawley said is, quote, she's still going to be a member. It'll give her certainly a media platform. I don't think it's being canceled in terms of she's being silenced. It's a decision for the House caucus who represents them.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
Classic,
so
soy boy snowflake Josh Hawley.
Oh, wow. It's like, not cancel. What do you mean? You can still talk. You have a platform.
Right.
And I'm just like, what is going on right now?
There's a real Ken Watanabe let them fight appeal that's going
right now.
This is as fun as the movie Alien versus Predator should have been.
Mm-hmm. Right. Lindsey Graham, I mean, just he kind of came out and said what this is really about. He said, Liz Cheney's made a determination that the Republican Party can't grow with President Trump. I've made a determination we can't grow without him.
Without.
Ooh. Graham, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've been working on it.
He believes it. I mean, I don't know what kind of fucking shit they're holding over his head still. I'm like, he's out of office, Lindsey.
Right.
But okay, whatever. I mean, so many people have shown themselves to just completely liquefy their spines into diarrhea and then just pledge fealty to Trump like on a dime. Like Elise Stefanik, who they want to replace Liz Cheney, she went from being like, yo, Trump's a misogynist and he's soft on Putin, fuck out of here, to being like, he is the greatest leader our country has ever had. Fuck Liz Cheney.
I mean, I think this is a strategic error that I'm like kind of glad they're making, that they're just fully, like, they're just attaching, like, Donald Trump owns the party. This is somebody who's like, what is he, mid, late 70s now?
Yeah.
He'll be late 70s by the time the next election comes around. And he's lost two popular votes, like, at the height of his movement. I don't know what their angle is necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm glad that they are just that completely devoid of, I mean, maybe they're just like, we're over leveraged on the like white supremacy thing. So we can't really like back away. We don't really have a cultural place anymore. They're so just, like, what the fuck do you want us to do?
They're in a corner. Like you said, like we're talking about, they're just painting themselves into a corner. They can't, you can't pivot out of what they're doing. I mean, unless you become liberal, like become like being less of what this is. And I think their fear is like, that's not going to resonate with our base, which is already like a weird group of people. And if they looked at any of the data, they'd see that young voters were really instrumental in defeating Trump. So on some level, just off maths, you should be like, well, we need to appeal to these people. We lost all these people in the suburbs and some independents and young people. So we're going to go further into the direction that was causing people to flee.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Do you think they are savvy enough to be consciously trying to attract like the Reddit dudes or the 4chan dudes? Because I mean, I think obviously, like, you know, any QAnon doc you've watched shows how instrumental those dudes were in spreading, you know, kind of QAnon bullshit. Do you think that the cancel culture thing, are they trying to like get Gamergate guys, or is that, do you
they
think that's so
did.
Off their radar?
No, they already got Gamergate
guys.
That's their like, whole that was part strategy, of Steve Bannon's whole thing in 2016 was to like, with all of that Cambridge Analytica stuff, they're like, oh yeah, we got an inroad here with these like angry gamer men.
Yeah, like is that their young contingent?
That would be. But I think more than anything, I just think this is so, it's become such a just like a living organism that's thrashing to survive. It just doesn't know what's happening anymore. And I think given this is the other thing, though, too, they don't really, the way they're moving in all the states is we don't need to appeal to people because we're going to suppress the fuck out of the vote
right.
that It's not going to matter because we're just going to target people who would vote against us and negate their votes. That's how we're going to move forward. And it feels like this is sort of like a shatter glass in case of emergency thing for like white supremacy, that they're like, okay, man, if I'm sure in the back of your mind, you see the support, the numbers going down, 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 down. You're like, all right, what do we do? What's that last move we
play? It's authoritarianism. Like they're just moving towards authoritarianism. Like there's no strategic future for them that involves like actually letting people vote, because they keep at their height, they were losing the popular vote. Like what do they think is going to happen as the voting population continues to get younger?
And God, what a fucking dumbass strategy furthering the voting is fake narrative. It's like, okay, well then your goobers aren't going to come out and vote because they think it's fake, right? I don't know. Anyway,
I mean, in their fantasy world, votes, the elections will just be pure theater for them to proclaim themselves victors every time, because they have a board of electors just locked in every state that is like, I don't care what they fucking voted. We're saying this person won. Bye. Because that's what they were trying to do with the presidential election. Everyone's like, what the fuck was that?
All right, this is all important, but I have to talk about Greg Kelly's pants. I think it's such a good...
The real issue.
The real
issue. Okay, Poppy, come on in.
Like, it's such a great metaphor for just, like, where the conservative movement is, like, from on the cultural side, like, just very, like, desperate to be accepted, trying too hard, like, trying to be cool, completely blind and deaf to anything approaching coolness, but then just like absurdly thin skinned, like so incredibly thin skinned. So he posts this picture with...
What is he, just like a pundit? Is he on a TV show?
He's a pundit, but people think he might be... people are giving him like Tucker Carlson vibes of like this. He seems like he might have a future in politics because he's the only person who seems to be able to post like Trump does, which is just like off the cuff and stupid and
right.
appealing to the conservative base. But he posted this picture with Trump where he was wearing pants that had like 5 zippers, cargo pockets, were incredibly tight, fit him weird, and just it was like somebody had copy and pasted like a European's jeans onto him.
It's from... Well, I will allow me to interject. It is a ripoff of the Balmain sort of biker jean style, but turned to cargo pants, which Balmain didn't...
No, it
make.
Is Balmain. It is Balmain.
Oh, he is rocking Balmain?
Yes. To me, it screamed what the lead singer of Smash Mouth would wear if he became radicalized.
right.
that's a perfect description. But he...
With a belt?
First... with a belt. It looks so bad.
The belt is the worst. Wearing $900 pants, you have no swag.
Sorry, I tried like $1,300 pants. Just looking at their website.
Oh,
but
okay.
So he first, when he posted it, posted Oshkosh, because he wanted to like kind of paper over the fact that these were $1,300 pants. And then people were like, "Yo, what is happening with your pants, my man?" And he responded, "Everyone busting my crackers over the quote pants,
busting my crackers, fucking Ned Flanders, Jesus Christ!"
Oh, and then he
busting my crackers.
Parentheses, partially my fault because I called attention to them with the Bugle Boy. Okay, he said Bugle Boy, not Oshkosh. That makes more sense. Then he said, "The truth is, they're Balmain, all caps." And then the most prestigious brand in pants. And then,
oh my God.
And then M-, my shoes are by Ferragamo. Basically, I'm a sharp-dressed man. Thank you. So just a perfect encapsulation of, I think, like just that type of guy.
And I mean, most American mindsets, to be honest, it's like, I don't know, this is the best thing I can buy, therefore I am good.
Right.
You're like, man, your shit looks stupid. Yeah,
when those fucking so bozos dumb. Try and intersect with high fashion, it is so embarrassing.
They're Balmain. Like, yo, come on, sir. You up from the waist up, you look like a fucking principal. And then from the waist down, Balmain. You want to act like you're the fucking like Migos entourage?
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Anyways, a beautiful thing, but we do have to move on to the Prego hack. So, Miles, you have not seen this yet.
No. Prego.
So this is just I don't know if you've seen like some of those videos where someone, usually a white lady, will be like, I have a cooking hack. And then it's like fill rigatoni, like raw rigatoni with Velveeta and like put,
right,
you know, ketchup on top. And it's actually lasagna. That
no.
So that's a thing that happens is like,
wait, and people will disrespect themselves and make that as food to eat?
No, no. People will make fun of them usually. But
oh,
this,
okay, got
this
you,
one
got
is so out there. I can't tell if it's real. Like, it seems like it's a badly acted bit, but I don't know. I want to yeah, get your thoughts on this.
Okay. Allow me to watch
the while you're watching. Note the reactions of the person holding the camera. I think
is the audio necessary for me to take this all in? Do I need kind to hear
of,
the narration?
To understand Jordan's point, the person who's holding the camera is either doing a bad job acting in what is a bit, or is
okay,
like recognizes
like
how fucking stupid this is and is making fun of the person.
Oh, I like that reading. That's
okay,
interesting.
Let me check
I didn't think that.
It's like,
but
yeah,
I'll
this
for
looks
it.
Great.
Oh, cool.
That's just right on the countertop. Yep. All my friends are coming over. This is the easiest
nice grant countertop though.
To make spaghetti for a crowd.
Uncooked Prego being
it's
poured on
right
a
in front of
countertop.
You don't have to worry about dishes or
just
a mess.
Just right out of the
like
can.
That. It's on your countertop. Yeah.
Not it's exactly. It's a can. That's a jug. Works. That's a plastic
yeah.
jug.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
That's the smart and final Prego.
Right.
You need a meatball. Let's meet
we're gonna
the
see
ball,
it, some Target
okay?
products later, so it might be a Target.
Oh my!
Right in line.
Gosh. And you've done this before.
Oh yeah, we do this all the time. This is like
holy smokes.
Nah, this is bullshit.
So
this
is right? Bullshit. This is it's got to be bullshit,
to
right?
A ton of people.
Somebody who
dumping an entire plastic jar of Parmesan cheese.
You just go on a straight line.
Parmesan cheese brand.
Market Pantry, the Target brand.
Oh, okay.
Important
I thought it was
know.
Parmesan cheese brand Parmesan right. cheese. It just has
oh
Parmesan cheese.
It's the Parmesan cheesiest.
Now just putting cooked noodles. Yeah,
now just putting cooked noodles on it.
Okay.
I would
wait,
never
putting more
it.
Noodles on top. Just like resting steamy. Noodles on top of this pile of sauce.
Take, you just fold it
then
in.
She starts mixing it in and it just looks like
right
a murder
in.
Scene.
How
kind of cold
what are you doing? No, you
style.
Fucking, nah, I'm done watching this. This is bullshit. This is fucking offensive.
I mean, that's kind of where it ends. So,
yeah, that's not how you cook. That doesn't even make sense. That you have to cook everything together to infuse the flavors. Like you would, if you were actually making meatballs, you want that cooking in your sauce. This is nonsense. I call bullshit because of the terrible acting from the person holding the camera to try and feign actual wow.
But this is my one hope is that it is real and their terrible acting is coming from them, their inability to like put up with this shit anymore from this friend.
Oh,
they're like, wow, yeah, you are a good
you're
cook.
Going viral, Karen. You're going viral. Wow. Oh.
Because if you're at that point in your friendship with somebody like that, you're like, I'm not shooting this fucking stupid thing for you, fool. Shoot at your damn, so get your fucking weak ass husband to do this shit.
Well, but maybe she was doing it as like an intervention, like as a, hey, like,
Jack, why are you more invested in this being a sincere video than it being like
a bad bit?
You've encountered fake videos on the internet countless times. This just like, I think I'm more in Jordan's court where it feels like the worst like product placement just to get eyes on it. But
right.
I don't know. But I think it's also it could be fake in that it's like people who are just who see the wave of like food, sloppy, weird food hacks and are like, this is how I'm doing it now. And
right.
Like, see,
right.
We can get a million views if we just recklessly put a bunch of sauce on our because, you know, there are people now who just dunking whole hot dogs in a bucket of ketchup. And you're like, oh, I love this shit.
I still make room for a version where that is a friend who has just gone completely lost their tether to reality during the pandemic. And this is their friend being like, I want to show you. What
oh,
you look
right.
like when you take a video of a friend who
like really
has
drunk.
A substance abuse problem
yeah,
and you're like,
what you look like,
look at you.
So, yeah. I think, you know, like seeing the woman hosting this is kind of like important. And she does seem like someone who is just desperate to go viral. Like, I'm sure she's made a song parody about being a wine mom.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. I think her t-shirt says plant mom on it.
Yeah.
She's
a plant from Target.
Oh, wow. Oh, the clues. This is like a fucking Kubrick 237 thing.
Exactly. Mr. Kobayashi. You just fucking dropped your coffee cup when you realized what was going on.
Were, yes. Mr. What is it? Mr. Police. You gave Mr. Police gave you all
the clues.
I was confessing to my crime in the video.
Anyways.
Wait, hold on. Hold the fuck up. I need to just do a little frame by... Oh, it says Plant Lady is what her...
Plant
shirt?
Lady. Oh, Plant Lady, excuse me.
I mean, still, it could be a confession.
I'm just making sure that...
The subconscious is vast. Maybe it was an unintentional...
See, there is... Target does have a Plant Mom shirt. And I was like, oh my God, she's even wearing Target clothing.
Oh, she's just... But this whole thing is just an ad for a trip to Target.
Her Plant Lady shirt actually seems to be like one that comes from, I don't know, Etsy or something. Anyway.
But even if she's sponsored by Target and like... She's just desperate for clicks because she signed that contract with Target and gets to monetize every single view on the video. That's still, it's not like it's satire. It's like she's like, I'm just going to do something quirky that would be like a fun way to fuck with stuff in the kitchen.
It goes against everything about cooking, though. You're combining your ingredients on a cold stone countertop. Yeah. Like Cold Stone Pizzeria, the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Cold Stone Pizzeria.
The fuck you, like the Parmesan's gonna melt, and like even I reject the efficiency of this like mixing strategy that has been devised. Again, you know,
right? Because you have that's such a great point. Is you will have to reheat this somehow. You have to heat. Oh, yeah. Like this is gonna be so fucking room temp. Like so, you might as well cook it together if you're gonna eventually have to put it back on the stove to reheat it. Right.
Right.
The one reason I do think it's fake is that she said, all my friends are coming over at the beginning, which is just something that you would write as like a setup. All my friends are coming over is not
what
something you say to your friends.
What are you, fucking Bo Cephas and it's Monday Night Football? Yeah. Like, what the fuck? All my rowdy friends are coming over tonight. Eating fucked up spaghetti on my kitchen counter. Like, no. Yeah. But this is, I think this is what it reminds me of, the table nachos hack that I saw on TikTok blow up, where they were like, yo, fuck like putting nachos on a plate, cover your fucking table and just get all the toppings like on your fucking table. And then just use your chips to just eat, just scrape them. Right. So you're not trying to dress like, you know, fight, you know, rather than doing the top soggy layer and then got a bunch of dry chips on the bottom, eat them off your table. That was one that seemed very sincere and an easy cleanup versus
why. Why is that an easy cleanup? And why is that any better than this?
I think, well, because, okay, if we're eating nachos, right? You got the cheese just right there ready to go. You can just take your chips and kind of keep building your shit rather than the fight that ensues over, like, as Saving Silverman described to us, you know, if they're the connected, nacho. That's right. One nacho, you know, and then, you know,
I mean, I'm all for
ensue.
Dipping nacho, like having a great dip that you use for your nachos, but why would you put it directly on the table?
Okay, so what I'm saying is I think table nachos inspired sloppy counter spaghetti.
Okay.
And they're trying to ride the table nachos wave because table nachos had a wave. Like that shit was on the Today Show.
I mean.
So I think this is some, I don't know. Look,
this is, I didn't know that this was part of a larger.
Can we get back
genre.
To the lighter stuff and talk about fucking the Middle East or something?
This table nachos thing is tearing us apart.
Jack, it's just easier,
the last
man.
Episode
like,
of the show.
Really heating up.
Oh, man.
But I mean, I guess isn't table nachos just 5-layer dip, right?
But on it. Yeah.
But on it, but not in a container.
Wait, so Jack, you seem like you really can't get over the fact that it's on a table.
Yeah.
Okay, now tell me, so what's the logic here where that is like, what's going on, but the counter thing, like, what do you, so you're just
saying
table nachos is just a bad idea.
I'm not in favor, yeah, and I'm not in favor of this Prego preparation of spaghetti.
You like that
it's real. I'm just wondering if there is a universe where somebody has completely lost their tether to reality, saw the table nachos video, saw all these hack things, and is preparing this and showing it off to their friend or sister, whoever is taking the video. And the friend is like, yeah, man, wow.
It's an SNL digital short is what you're envisioning.
Right. Yeah.
Where she's like, my friends are coming over.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
They're like, what's going on with Deb?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
They're like, she didn't even clean up the counter from the last time she made spaghetti.
After Brad took the kids, she was kind of not holding it together.
Really fuck the kids. I still have my plants. Okay.
Yeah, I have my plants and my
freaky family
counter
meals.
Food.
She's just eating at the table by herself, with like surrounded by plants who are in seats.
No, and she's like trying to feed them. Like, here you go, Fernie. Have a bite of my counter spaghetti.
And finally, speaking of heating up, it is the summer of flavor. I do want to talk really briefly about these three new Lay's potato chip flavors. We got wavy jerk chicken. We got chili mango. Perfectly fine so far. And then we got summer BLT.
No.
A lettuce flavored potato chip.
Like, what are you going to do with that?
Lettuce.
Because I'll be honest, I put this in the doc not because, you know, we're sponsored or anything, even though it had sounded like the most aggressive product placement. But I love chips right now. And the flavors that I've been getting, like the jalapeno ranch ones and shit, like I'm liking that we're entering all kinds of new fun territory with our chips. So when I saw this, I was like, this is great. But summer BLT, I just not sure how you're going to pay that off. Bacon, I get, you can do some janky bacon flavor. And tomato, like, is it a raw tomato flavor you're trying to replicate? Is it just going to be a ketchup bacon flavored chip?
Then call it ketchup bacon. Call it BL, what's it called? Bacon cheeseburger or something.
Ketchup and bacon and be like, look, you fucking creeps, come and get it.
I mean, ketchup is a very popular flavor in places that aren't America. So,
yeah,
I stick to pretty traditional chip flavors when I'm chip buying. I think as exotic as I'll get is like sour cream and cheddar Ruffles. I love sour cream and cheddar Ruffles.
Yeah, that's great.
But these kind of limited, small batch, kind of meme-y flavors scare me off. As someone who has had a lot of them, what do you recommend? KBBQ, what's been your favorite so far?
I like Thai sweet chili chips.
Okay.
That they'll have in the UK. It's like, it's usually when I go abroad and it becomes Walkers rather than Lay's.
Oh, right.
The roast chicken chips that I've had in Canada. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah,
I
Canada
love
has
it.
Some good chips. They invented All Dressed, which we got over here not too long ago. And I think All Dressed fucking rules. It's really good.
Yeah. So in that sense, like, yes, I would say those are like my go-tos. Now these, like, I love a spice. I like anything with a lot of spice. So the jerk chicken one does appeal to me. But it's weird when you say jerk chicken. So like, are you trying to pay off the chicken aspect too? Yeah. Like, are these vegan? I don't look. Who knows? But this is what they're coming with. Chili mango though could be good too.
Yeah.
Does Oreo rule this space? Is Oreo the best at the like
one-off flavors?
Funky, limited flavors.
They've only had one real misfire in terms of flavor, and that one was so weird that it still kind of succeeded with the Swedish fish.
I can't believe it's not butter one.
No way. Really? Did they do that?
No, man.
I believed it. Oreo has gone so fucking off the rails.
I mean, sugar and butter, like that, that would be I would fuck with
sugar
that.
Sugar and butter. Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
don't hate it.
Like that. When my mom was cooking up a batch of cookies and she was at the just sugar and butter mixed together phase, I would get a little lick in of the spoon.
That's a fun spoonful.
Yeah, the Swedish fish one was kind of a mess, but otherwise I really fuck with Oreo special flavors. I love them.
What do you think is the best one?
Lemon, if we're considering that a special, I think lemon is really good. I also Big Mac all of my Oreos, so it's two creams, three cookies. So that is very specific.
Yeah.
S'mores was really good.
What do you do with that loose cookie?
Just throw it to the kids. They fight for it on the couch.
I have a bag of Lucy's that I keep in the side of my bed.
That's right.
Well, I guess if you have an odd, maybe you need an even number of them, and then you can just make the loose cookie goes into the next Big Mac, right?
Oh, like keep shifting it. Or, you know, crush it up so you have ice cream.
No, I end up with a bag of like 20 Lucy's by the end.
You do?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
See, y'all, this is why we need an intervention for Jack and his loose Oreo cookies I told you about.
Man. Wow. Oh, great, Jack. Cool, you're saving your Oreos.
So here's what you do. All my friends are coming over and I'm going to Big Mac all the Oreos. Oh. You see?
No, all your friends stop talking to you because of your weird videos you upload.
How many plants do you have now?
I don't know, but I love Target.
Yeah, throw it to the kids. That's just
dumping it into a pot.
It appears
you
have weeds growing through the floor of your house.
That looks like one of those like taekwondo punching dummies. That's just throwing cookies at that? Okay. Cool.
Jordan, this has been so fun, man. Yeah. It's such a pleasure having you. Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
I am currently flogging pre-orders for a graphic novel that's coming out in July. It is called Bubble. I co-wrote it with a great comedy writer, Sarah Morgan. Comics artist, Tony Cliff, does the art. Natalie Reese does the colors. And it's like it's a sci-fi comedy with a lot of gore and sex jokes. You know, it's a near future where people all live in these bubble cities and they have this kind of life and death gig economy that they need to participate in to survive. And
awful. How did you come up with that?
I just fucking smoked a bunch of mushrooms, man. What were you on, dude, when you came up with that?
Whoa, Bub, we're in our own fuck. That sounds really dope, though.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see the graphic novel treatment of that dystopia that we live in.
Yeah. It's actually based on a scripted podcast I did a couple of years ago, and a lot of the stuff came true. So it's one of those bubble predicted it kinds of things, fortunately or unfortunately. But, you know, I'm a big comics guy, so it was just like a dream to get to do it. And if you know Tony, the guy who did the art, he does the Delilah Dirk series. So, you know, all the like fighting and the environments are really cool. Yeah, it was a blast. And it's coming out 7/13, but it is available for pre-order. And I think we're going to have some cool goodies for people who pre-order. So nice. You can do that. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, maybe better yet, call your local indie bookstore. And I'm doing signed pre-orders from Book Soup here in LA. So if you go on the Book Soup website and hit up their signed pre-orders section, you can get it in there. Support a great local bookstore.
Yeah, Book Soup is great. And is there a tweet or any work of social media you've been enjoying?
There is. This is a little bit of a local rec, but I think I can explain its appeal. You guys familiar with the La Brea Tar Pits?
Oh, yeah.
La Brea Tar Pits, beloved LA institution. They have a great kind of scene outside. There's a tar pit, and they have these like kind of fiberglass kind of models of mammoths. And there's this scene where, you know, one of the mammoths is stuck in the tar, and it's reaching out to its family on the other side of the pit. You know, it's a mammoth stuck, and then there's another grown mammoth and a baby, and the baby is reaching out. So I think what we're supposed to, you know, kind of assume is its parent in the tar. Very grim, very like, very memorable. It just kind of like hits you as you're driving down Wilshire.
Mm-hmm.
And on this Sunday, the La Brea Tar Pits Twitter account put up that photo of the child reaching for the parent in the tar with the caption, "Happy Mother's Day."
Oh my God, really?
Fucking savage. So funny.
Holy shit.
Oh, no.
People are mad in the comments. Check it out.
Check out
the Brea Tar Pits if you're ever in LA. One of my favorite spots. Great Twitter account.
As a kid, I would always go there and my mom would be like, I would be like, oh, are they going to move? And she's like, yeah, they're going to move. And I'm always waiting for the motherfuckers to move.
Watch.
Yeah, man. Shit's been playing children since the fucking 80s.
Yeah.
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, Miles of Gray. Also, the other podcast, 420 Day Fiance. Check that one out if you like 90 Day Fiance and the like. A few tweets that I like. Ooh, let's see. Okay, first one is from at Eve6, because you know Max Collins from Eve6 is motherfucker based as fuck.
Yeah, that guy got good on Twitter, huh?
Yeah, at Eve6 tweets, "Communism is only a scary concept to people because the madness of capitalism has been hyper-normalized to such an extent that they don't see the blood dripping."
Hot in a blender, born in a tender. Watch us been around to a beautiful oblivion. Capitalism has you fucked up.
And let's see, going on. This is from Mary Kobayashi at Mary Coco, K-O-C-O. She tweets, that'd be funny if when the Beast gave Belle her library, she was like, oh my God, I love my library, and pronounced it like that.
That would be funny.
Pronouncing like that is great. And then finally, at Sleepy Socialist tweeted, it's funny that businesses are begging for workers instead of just getting those robots we're told will so easily replace us if we raise the minimum wage.
Right? Huh. Some tweets I've been enjoying. Tony Ventura tweeted, back in my day, I could walk in a store with $25 USD and walk out with 6 porterhouse steaks, 2 chickens, a case of beer, 5 bottles of wine, 2 loaves of bread, and a gallon of milk. Can't do that today. Too many fucking cameras. And Amy O tweeted a great exchange with her grandma. She said, last night, my grandma told me she liked my new jacket, but today she changed her mind. And it's just a screen cap of 2 messages from her grandma. Hey, Amy, I was lying in bed thinking about last night and how much fun I had. Then I thought about your new jacket. I did like it, but Mom could be right that a longer length might be a better choice. Please don't be mad at me for changing my mind, but sometimes I don't make the best quick decisions and need to think a little longer. Love you so much and wanted to share my best thoughts with you. Have a good week. I'll be praying for you. And then second message, please let me know when you read the previous text and you're not upset with me. XOXO.
Wow.
I just love the, like, she was up all night being like, fuck, I told her that jacket looked good.
I need to come clean.
Look, the jacket looks like shit. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy checking out and maybe even listening to. Miles, what's that going to be?
This track going to be a little bit of a Sade remix. This one's called, it's a remix of Paradise, but the DJ Grant Reggae Chop. And I love, you know, Sade's voice is so timeless that you can, like, any good producer can just put her vocals on it, something new, and it just feels like a fucking hit all over again. This is no exception. So check out DJ Grant with the Paradise DJ Grant Reggae Chop remix, and that's going to be on SoundCloud, and that link will be there in the footnotes.
Bang, bang. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ+ bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.